Graduation Afternoon by Stephen King. Janice has never settled on the right word for the place where Buddy lives. It's too big to be called a house, too small to be an estate, and the name on the post at the foot of the driveway, Harbour Lights, gags her. It sounds like the name of a restaurant in New London, the kind where the special is always fish. She usually winds up just calling it Your Place, as in, let's go to your place and play tennis, or let's go to your place and go swimming. It's pretty much the same deal with Buddy himself, she thinks, watching him trudge up the lawn towards the sound of shouts on the other side of the house, where the pool is. You didn't want to call your boyfriend Buddy when reverting to his real name meant Bruce. It left you with no real ground to stand on. Or expressing feelings, that was that. She knew he wanted to hear her say she loved him, especially on his graduation day. Surely a better present than that silver medallion she'd given him. Although the medallion had set her back a teeth-clenching amount. But she couldn't do it. She couldn't bring herself to say, I love you, Bruce. The best she could manage, and again with the interior clench, was, I'm awfully fond of you, Buddy. And even that sounded like a line out of a British musical comedy. You don't mind what she said, do you? That was the last thing he'd asked her before heading up the lawn to change into his swimming trunks. That isn't why you're staying behind, is it? No, I just want to hit a few more and look at the view. The house did have that going for it, and she could never get enough, because you could see the whole of New York cityscape from this side of the house. The buildings reduced to blue toys with the sun gleaming on the highest windows. Janice thought that when it came to New York City, you could only get the sense of exquisite stillness from a distance. It was a lie that she loved. Because it's just my gran, he went on. You know, her by now. If it enters her head, it exits her mouth. I know, Janice said. And she liked Buddy's gran, who made no effort to hide her snobbery. There it was, out and beating to the time of music. They were the Hopes, came to Connecticut, along with the rest of the heavenly host, thank you so much. She is Janice Gandolowski, who will have her own graduation day from Fairhaven High 2 weeks from now, after Buddy has left with his three best friends to hike the Appalachian Trail. She turns to the basket of balls, a slender girl of good height in denim shorts, sneakers and a shell top. Her legs flex as she rises up on tiptoe with every serve. She's good looking and she knows it. Her knowing of the functional and non-fussy sort. She's smart and knows it. Very few Fairhaven girls manage relationships with boys from the academy, other than the usual, we all know where we are, quick and dirty, winter carnival or spring fling weekends, that is, and she has done so in spite of the ski that trails her wherever she goes, like a tin can tied to the bumper of a family sedan. She has managed this social hat-trick with Bruce Hope, also known as Buddy. And when they were coming up from the basement media room after playing video games, most of the others still down there with their mortarboards cocked back on their heads, they had overheard his gran in the parlour with the adults, because this was really their party. The kids would have their own tonight, first at Holy Now out on Route 219. Which had been forewalled for the occasion by Jimmy Frederick's dad and mum, pursuant to the mandatory designated driver rule, and then later, at the beach, under a full moon, you could give me a spoon. Do I hear swoon? Is there a swoon in the house? That was Janice, something unpronounceable, Gran was saying in her oddly piercing, oddly toneless, deaf lady voice. She's very pretty, isn't she? A townie. Bruce's friend, for now. She didn't quite call Janice Bruce's starter model, but, of course, it was all in the tone. She shrugs and hits a few more balls, legs flexing, racket reaching. The balls fly hard and true across the net, each touching down deep in the receiver's box on the far side. They have in fact learned from each other, and she suspects that's what these things are about, what they are for, and Buddy has not, in truth, been that hard to teach. He respected her from the first, maybe a little bit too much. She had to teach him out of that, the pedestal worship part of that. And she thinks he hasn't been that bad a lover, given the fact kids are denied the finest of accommodations and the luxury of time when it comes to giving their bodies the food they come to want. We did the best we could, she said, and decided to go for a swim with the others. Let him show her off one final time. He thinks they'll have all summer before he goes off to Princeton and she goes to state, but she thinks not. She thinks part of the purpose of the upcoming Appalachian hike is to separate them as painlessly but as completely as possible. In this, Janice senses not the hand of the hale and the hearty, good fellows, everyone, father, or the somehow endearing snobbery of the grandmother, a townie, Bruce's friend for now, but the smiling and subtle practicality of the mother, whose one fear, it might as well have been stamped on her lovely unlined forehead, is that the townie girl with the tin can tied to the end of her name will get pregnant and trap her boy in the wrong marriage. It would be wrong too, she murmurs, as she wheels the basket of balls into the shed and flips the latch. Her friend, Marcy, keeps asking her what she sees in him at all. Buddy, she all but sneers, wrinkling her nose. What do you do all weekend? Go to garden parties? To polo matches? In fact, they have been to a couple of polo matches, because Tom Hope still rides, although Buddy confided that this was apt to be his last year, if he didn't stop putting... But they have all made love, some of it. Sweet and intense. Sometimes, too, he made her laugh. Less often now. She had an idea that his capacity to surprise and amuse is far from infinite, but yes, he still does. He's a lean, narrow-headed boy who breaks the rich kid geek mould in an interesting and sometimes very unexpected ways. He also thinks the world of her, and that isn't entirely bad for a girl's self-esteem. Still, she doesn't think he will resist the call of his essential nature forever. By the age of 35 or so, she guesses, he will have lost most or all of his enthusiasm for eating pussy and will be more interested in collecting coins or refurbishing colonial rockers, like his father does, out in the carriage house. She walks slowly up the long acre of green grass, looking out towards the blue toys of the city, dreaming of the far distance. Closer at hand are the sounds of shouts and splashing from the pool. Inside, Bruce's mother and father and Gran and closest friends will be celebrating the one chick's high school graduation in their own way at formal tea. Tonight, the kids will go out and party down in a more righteous mode. Alcohol and not a few tabs of X will be ingested. Club music will throb through big speakers. No one will play the country stuff Janice grew up with, but that's all right. She still knows where to find it. When she graduates, there'll be a much smaller party, probably at Aunt Kay's restaurant. And of course, she's bound for the educational halls of a far less grand or traditional. But she has plans to go farther than she suspects Buddy will go in his dreams. She'll be a journalist. She will begin on the campus newspaper, and then we'll see where that takes her. One rung at a time. That's the way to do it. There are plenty of rungs on the ladder. She has talents to go along with her looks, and unshowy self-confidence. She doesn't know how much, but she'll find out. And there's luck, that too. She knows enough not to count on it, but also enough to know it tends to come down on the side of the young. She reaches the stone-flagged patio and looks down at the rolling acre of land to the double tennis court. It all looks very big and very rich, very special, but she is wise enough to know that she is only 18. There may come a time where it all looks quite ordinary to her, even in the eyes of her memory, quite small. It is this sense of perspective before the fact that makes it quite all right to be Janice something unpronounceable, and a townie, and Bruce's friend for now. Buddy, with his narrow head and fragile ability to make her laugh at unexpected times, he has never made her feel small. Probably knows she'd leave him the first time he ever tried. She can go directly through the house, to the pool, and the changing rooms on the far side. But first she turns slightly to her left, to once again look at the city, across all those miles of blue afternoon distance. She has time to think. It could be my city someday. I could call it home, before an enormous spark lights up there, as if some god deep in the machinery had suddenly flicked his bick. She winces from the brilliance, which, at first, like a thick, isolated stroke of lightning, and then the entire southern sky lights up in a soundless, lucid red. Formless bloodgate obliterates the buildings. Then, for a moment, there they are again, but ghost-like, as if seen through an interposing lens. A second, or a tenth of a second after that, they're gone forever, and the red begins to take shape of a thousand newsreels climbing and boiling. It is silence, silent. Bruce's mother comes over out the patio and stands next to her, shading her eyes. She's wearing a new blue dress, a tea dress. Her shoulder brushes Janice's, and they look south at the crimson mushroom climbing and eating up the blue. Smoke is rising from around the edges, dark purple in the sunshine, and then being pulled back in. The red of the fireball is too intense to look at. It will blind her, but Janice cannot look away. Water is gushing down her cheeks in broad, warm streams, but she cannot look away. What is that? Bruce's mother asks. Is it some kind of advertising? It's in very poor taste. It's a bomb, Janice says. Her voice seems to be coming from somewhere else, on a live feed from Hartford, maybe. Now, huge black blisters are erupting in the red mushroom, giving it hideous features that shift and change. Now a cat, now a dog, now Bobo the demon clown, grimacing across the miles above what used to be New York, and is now a smelting furnace. A nuke, and an almighty big one, no little dirty backpack model or whap. Heat spreads upwards and downwards on the side of her face, and water flies from both sides of her eyes, and her head rocks. Bruce's mum had just slapped her in the face, hard. Don't you even joke about that, Bruce's mother commands. There's nothing funny about that. Other people are joining them on the patio now, but they are little more than shades. Janice's vision has either been stolen by the brightness of the fireball or the cloud that has blotted out the sun, maybe both. That's in very poor taste, each word rising. Taste comes out as a scream. Someone says, it's some kind of special effect. It has to be, or we'd hear. But then the sound reaches them. It's like a boulder running down an endless stone flume. It shivers, the glass running along the side of the south of the house, and sends birds up from the trees in whirling squadrons. It fills the day, and it doesn't stop. It's like an endless sonic boom. Janice sees Bruce's gran go walking slow down the path that leads to the multi-car garage, with her hands to her ears. She walks with her head down and her back bent, her butt sticking out, like a dispossessed war hag starting down a long refuge road. Something hangs down on the back of her dress, swinging from side to side, and Janice isn't surprised to note, with what vision she has left, that it's Gran's hearing aid. "I want to wake up," a man says from behind Janice. He speaks in a querulous, pestering tone. "I want to wake up. Enough is enough. Now." The red cloud has grown to its full height and stands in a boiling triumph where New York was 90 seconds ago. A dark red and purple toadstool that has burned a hole straight through this afternoon and all the afternoons to follow. A breeze begins to push through. It's a hot breeze. It lifts the hair from the side of her head, freeing her ears to hear the endless grinding boom even better. Janice stands, watching, and thinks about hitting the tennis balls, one after another, all of them landing so close together you could have caught them in a roasting pan. That's pretty much how she writes. It's her talent, or was. She thinks about the hike Bruce and his friends won't be taking. She thinks about the party at Holy Now that they won't be attending. She thinks about the records by Jay-Z and Beyonce and The Fray that they won't be listening to, no loss there. And she thinks of all the country music her dad listens to in his pickup truck on his way to and from work. That's better, somehow. She will think of Pasty Cline or Skeeter Davis, and in a little while she may be able to teach what is left of her eyes not to look. It's far harder to actually read something out loud than I thought it was. But, I mean, I hope this is an okay bedtime story about a bomb in New York. Night night.